On today's episode of The Backpacking Experience, we welcome Alicia Baker, better known as Girl on a Hike, to talk about what it's like to go backpacking with a dog. What's up, guys? Welcome to The Backpacking Experience podcast today. I kind of just wanted to do something a little bit different in this opening sequence, just to change it up a little bit as we are on episode 26. I think it's 26. Of the podcast, and I'm just so grateful for what we've been able to accomplish in all of the conversations that we've had so far with the podcast, and thank you to you guys for being listeners. Really glad that you're here today. So as you heard in that intro, Alicia Baker, who is also a Utah resident, local to me, is joining me on the episode to talk about what it's like to write trail guides on her website that are specific to being able to take your dog hiking and backpacking with you. So it is specific to a lot of Utah information, Utah geography, and that kind of thing in this episode, and you'll hear that in the conversation. But we do also get into just the general aspects of hiking with a dog, the ethics of being on trail with a dog, the equipment that you use, how you take care of them, and all those sorts of things, and just really grateful for Alicia taking the time to talk about what she is so passionate about, and that is being on trail with a dog. So before we jump into that conversation, let's talk about today's sponsor. And you guessed it, Art of the Trek is the sponsor for today's episode. Really grateful for them being part of the show for so many episodes at this point. But if you are not familiar with Art of the Trek, let me give you a quick rundown of what you get by going to artofthetrek.com. You've got the ability to map routes and just plan backpacking trips using a really intuitive, well thought out mapping system on their website. So you've got the ability to map routes, download GPX files, load them onto whatever system you use that uses those GPX files. And that's one aspect of what they do. You're also able to find new and different hiking partners. So if you go to buddies.artofthetrek.com, you've got the ability to fill out a secure form that will allow you to answer a bunch of different questions about your hiking style, what you enjoy about hiking and backpacking, what your goals are, what your style is, all of those things. And then based on your area, they will eventually be able to pair you up with like-minded hiking individuals and groups so that you can make new friends to go out into the backcountry with. Another great thing that you're going to be able to do with Art of the Trek is ask for a custom route guide for areas that you are looking to go backpacking. So if I'm planning a trip out of state and I want some help figuring out what I need to bring with me, what the conditions are going to be like, how I get permits, all those kinds of really important things that go into planning a trip, these custom route guides that you fill out a form for are going to give you an immense amount of information to better understand and know what you're getting yourself into for that particular trip. So again, check out artofthetrek.com. Fantastic people behind that website, and just really appreciate them sponsoring today's episode. So with that, let's jump into the conversation with Alicia Baker, better known as Girl on a Hike. All right, everyone. I am so excited to have Alicia Baker here on the podcast. Alicia, thank you so much for taking time out of your morning to have a conversation with me today.
Yeah, I'm so excited to finally talk to you.
I know. We're both Utah, well, not Utah natives, but we both live here because you're not originally from Utah, correctly?
No, Utah is my seventh state and I've been here 7 years.
Whoa. Okay, so what are the other states?
So I was born in Seattle. Lived in Puerto Rico, not technically a state, but lived in Puerto Rico, New Mexico, Minnesota, DC, Montana, then Utah.
Wow. That's like all over the place. That's not just like, oh, I'll move around a few Western states. That's
like literally all corners of the US basically.
Wow. That's really cool. So what was the reasoning, I guess, quickly to explain, why you've moved around so much.
Yeah, simple answer is my dad's job.
Oh, okay. That's fair. It doesn't always have to be some kind of big extravagant thing, but it's kind of cool when you get to move around like that.
Yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed having that type of upbringing because that's, I think, influenced part of why I like to travel and explore so much.
That's awesome. Well, and I think we'll get into a lot more specifics of like how the outdoors has been an important part of your life. But why don't you give everybody that's listening kind of a rundown of your history of how you got into the outdoors and hiking, backpacking, trail running, backcountry skiing. I know you kind of dabble in all of those activities, and then we can talk about more specific things like what Girl on a Hike is.
Yeah, I do a little bit of everything outdoors. The one outdoor activity I will say I do not like is golfing. That's like the one thing I don't do. I've tried it. It's just not my thing. Anyway, yeah, just like growing up everywhere, when, you know, we would only live in one state, you know, between 2 and 5 years at a time. And both of my parents were, you know, obviously working full time and stuff. But on weekends, it was like, okay, we're going to go check out this and we're going to explore this and just really see what that area or state had to offer. And when we were all of us kids, I have two older brothers. When we were all little, we would only go hiking and camping like maybe twice a year, just kind of like, you know, that type of camper where it was like the giant castle tent and, you know, you only go once or twice a year. It wasn't like we did it regularly.
Gotcha.
But I remember one hike specifically when there was some snow and, you know, we didn't have a lot of money or anything. So what my mom did to protect our feet was put plastic grocery bags over our feet. And then we put our feet in the shoes. So it was like the very affordable, cheap way to not get frostbite or like, you know, wet socks when we were hiking. So, you know, those are some of the things I remember of like how we used to do it, you know, back in the day kind of thing. But
it's funny that you bring up the plastic bags, because I know another hiker that like religiously uses plastic bags in the backcountry because he doesn't like to wear like Gore-Tex shoes and that kind of stuff. And so he uses plastic bags to keep his feet dry.
Yeah. But somebody else just told me this recently that they like to do that. And that's like what they do. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, well, I thought that was only for, you know, like poor people. That's how we did it when we didn't have it. But I didn't that's know awesome. It was a thing that like people like doing. So yeah, I just learned that too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So we just, you know, we were just like the casual once or twice a year kind of thing. And it wasn't until I got into college. So I've been to several, you know, different colleges because of moving around, but it wasn't until I had moved to Montana that I really got into hiking. I should back up. I got my start hiking in Great Falls, just outside of DC of all places. And it's a national park and they have a total of 7 miles of trails. So when I was going to the community college and still living at home on the weekend, I would go and hike all 7 miles by myself. I didn't really have friends in back then. And, you know, when you're in college, at least for me, it was like harder to meet people, especially back then. There wasn't really like social media, or meetup where you could meet people. I'm kind of dating myself, but, so I just went by myself. And then we had moved to Montana. So I went to a different college and I was in Bozeman for 5 years. And that's when I really got into hiking because I was like, oh man, now I can do like 15 miles in a day. And so I would just I made sure that I got my homework done and projects done during the week, because as soon as Saturday, Sunday came, I was going to be hiking, you know, longer distances at this point. And I had lived in the dorm rooms, and it was like an all girls hall, and all of them said that they liked to go hiking and, you know, camping. And I was like, this is going to be so cool. I'll finally have friends who want to go with me, you know? And it didn't really work out that way. They were all just talking about it, but they never actually did it. And anytime I would ask them to go, they'd be like, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, I have homework to do, or I'm going to some party or whatever. So I was like back in the same boat of just hiking by myself. So I just love getting outside and being active all day. You know, it's free. It's great exercise. It's good for your mind and body. You get to see cool stuff. So I just found that like that's what fit me best.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And I mean, what better place than Montana to introduce or to like kind of cultivate that passion for being outside? Montana is one of those states that I've not been able to really spend a quality amount of time. I mean, I've been to Glacier National Park and that was like mind blowing at like the opportunities for recreation and just the outdoors in general. And I was like, I need to go spend more time in Montana. And actually one of my personal like bucket list destinations is the Beartooth Wilderness.
Oh yeah.
I'm curious if you've spent any time up in that area.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful area. I mean, it just, the lakes are so pretty and so clear, you know, it's just, and the mountains are so big around you. It's just an amazing spot. We love hiking up in there.
Which the Beartooth Wilderness has Montana's high point, right?
Yeah. Granite Peak is the
Granite Peak
for Montana. Yeah.
I feel like I always get the two mixed up between Montana and Wyoming.
Yes. Granite versus Gannett.
Yes.
Yeah. Both are on my list. We'll see when that happens, but definitely want to get both of those at some point.
Right on. So now your life is here in Utah and you've been doing, obviously, I know you work like a full-time job outside of your website and your social media, but what is it about Utah that has like drawn you here and kept you here?
So my partner and I had moved here for his work. So he's a nurse and he's working up at the University of Utah Hospital. And so we came here for a few reasons. They had a really good nursing internship that he was accepted into. But besides that, he also has a lot of lifelong friends from the East Coast that have also moved here. So for him, having a community of friends immediately that he's known for a really long time was super important. And the hospital, you know, it's a level one trauma center. And where else can you find that type of hospital or work environment for him, but also be really close to the mountains? You know, I think maybe Denver might be the next best option, but even Denver's still like an hour or two from the mountains.
Right.
So it was totally his choice. And I was just kind of along for the ride. Like, okay, yeah, I'm ready to go somewhere else. Cause we've both have moved around. Like you know, so it was like being in Bozeman for 5 years, I was like, all right, my 5 years is here. It's time to move. So it just kind of came naturally to both of us. Like it's time to go somewhere else. And Utah and Salt Lake specifically has everything that we're really looking for, you know?
Let's move on to talking about your website, your blog, your, what I kind of view as a side business for you.
Yeah.
because you started Girl on a Hike. I don't know when that started, but we also need to introduce Charlie into the conversation, which we are going to talk about dogs and all that. But tell us about Charlie, and because I know that he's an integral part of Girl on a Hike. So give us the history of Girl on a Hike and everything behind that.
Okay. Well, I'll start with like how the blog came about and then tell you, I guess how Charlie also came into that. But,
cool.
I started the blog about, I think it was 2014 or 2015, coming up on close to 5 years, I believe now. When I was researching hikes prior to then, I really couldn't find information that I was looking for on trails. Most specifically, if I could bring my dog or not, Charlie, and if it was on leash or off leash. And so I just, you know, I would look at maybe four or five different websites and other trail guides and like try and put everything together that I felt like I wanted to see. And eventually a friend was just like, well, why don't you start your own blog about it? You know? And I was like, I mean, I like writing, but I don't know if I see myself sticking with that, like, I don't know, I kind of had a weird impression about bloggers, you know, like, I'm like, not me, you know?
Well, and it seems like back then, I mean, that's not that many years ago, but at the time, like, blogging was, everybody was doing it.
Yeah, I don't know what the weird thought was. I can't even like pinpoint what it was, but I was just like, I don't know if I really want to do that. And I was like, well, let's just try it. Let's just see how it goes. You know, if I don't stick with it, that's okay. I'm not like losing out on anything, you know? So prior to the job I have now, I worked as an insurance agent for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And you know how, people always think like, oh, insurance jobs are so boring. Like that's like the thought a lot of people have. Yeah, it's actually true.
Okay.
I had a lot of downtime. I was running the office for the agency owner. So I had a lot of downtime. I was alone 90% of the time, which is fine. I like working by myself, but I got bored. So that's when I started building the blog. I knew nothing about coding or web design or blogging, like nothing. I just watched a ton of YouTube videos and you did research and talked to a friend who had started a blog like a year before me, and she still has her blog going too. And I built it while I was at work. And I put all the information on there that I want to see when I'm going out for a hike. So, you know, if you've been on the blog before, you notice I have all of the dog information. You know, is there enough water for dogs or shade? You know, step-by-step pictures of like, when you reach this trail split, go this way, or what to look for, you know, so you don't get lost. Those are the things I want to see. There aren't many blogs out there still to this day that offer that. You know, you really have to piece right. information to get such detailed information. So I really wanted to go for detail, step-by-step photos, and really focus on the dog part. So that kind of, I guess... When I started the blog, I also had no idea that it would eventually change my career, because now I actually work and get paid as a web designer, and I, you know, I coded for a little bit and did development and stuff like that. So it totally changed my life. I had no idea that I would get a different career out of it, and pick up all these different skills. So it was such a life changer for me. And I guess I can move on to how I found Charlie, because, you know, it's such a dog, you know, one of the reasons why it's dog focused is because I have a dog. So
right.
He was born in Montana, and I found him like online. I don't remember exactly what site, but it was like, you know, like an online dating profile, but for dogs.
Okay.
Like scroll through and like you put in exactly what you're looking for. And I didn't have not specifics on a dog I was looking for. I just wanted to make sure that they would be like a good hiking dog. So because at this point my partner was in nursing school and I was still hiking by myself. And so I'm like, well, I'm in, you know, freaking backcountry of Montana where there's bears and moose. And I not only want some company, but I also want some extra protection just in case I can come across wildlife. So that's gotcha. What I'm trying to look into getting a dog. So I found him online, and I had to drive like 3 hours into the middle of nowhere, Montana. And I picked him up and drove him back home that same day. And on the entire car ride home, you know, when I got him, he was only 7 pounds. So he was, you know, 8-9 weeks old. So he's
super tiny.
Yeah, he was a floppy little baby. So he fit perfectly in my lap, and he would not like sit anywhere else on the entire drive home. So he's 70 pounds now, and he still sits in my lap all the time.
Whoa. I didn't realize he was that big.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
in photos. He looks like he's 35, 45 pounds.
Yeah. He is like all muscle for how much we both run him and hike him and stuff. So, yeah, when I started the blog, I was like, well, he has to be kind of like part of the logo and part of the whole thing. Right. So part of it was something he and I could do together in a sense. You know, explore all these trails together, spend the time together, and let other people know. Because, you know, a lot of dog owners here in Salt Lake and Utah in general, it's very confusing on where you can or can't go with dogs, you know? So it's like,
Right.
Here's a link to, you know, whatever you need. I have it on my site for if you want to hike with your dog. I just want to make sure that people have the right information, you know?
Yeah. And I think that, not to tangent too much, but I think that's a really like compelling and interesting point about what you're doing and what you're sharing, because like, I think Utah is a little bit unique, and maybe just the Western United States has this in general, but I'm talking about watershed and like the canyons and stuff that we hike and recreate in are also where we get our water from. And that's not necessarily the same application for maybe in the Midwest or East Coast areas where they get water from different sources. And so saying that it is confusing, because I'm a dog owner as well. Cooper is 8 years old. He just turned 8 a couple of weeks ago. And it's always very confusing to know, okay, is it an on-leash day in Mill Creek Canyon, yeah, or is it not on-leash? Or can I actually go into this area that is at the top of Big Cottonwood Canyon? Can I actually hike with my dog there? Which those that are listening that are not from Utah aren't going to know what I'm talking about. But it's the general idea that you can't always just take your dog every single place that you want to go in the backcountry. And so I guess the question I want to ask you about that is, how do you know, like, where are you finding the information that allows you to become better educated to know where you can and cannot take Charlie with you, and then to share that with future hikers?
Yeah. A lot of online research. I mean, once you figure it out in Utah that there's basically two canyons you can't go up, Big Cottonwood and Little Cottonwood, then you have the next canyon, which is, so you can't even go in those, right? Then there's the next canyon, which is Mill Creek, and they have a rule where it's off leash on odd days only, on leash on even days. So it's like, once you know kind of like those three big rules or canyons per se, everything else is pretty much open. Some trails or counties do require dogs on leash. Some counties say, well, they don't have to be on a leash, but they better have really good recall. You know, so like if a biker comes or somebody's scared of dogs and, you know, you call them to come to you, they better come. So it's really, honestly, it's just doing a lot of online research. Also, generally, if you're going to like a national forest or BLM land, they don't require dogs on leash. So that's where I try to hike the most, is on those two different types of land, I guess, you know.
Yeah, which is going to be the case for, Forest Service and BLM is going to be public land. So
exactly,
specific to Utah.
Right. So really, it's only the Salt Lake area that has kind of like, you know, the area
really specific rules.
Yeah, look at specific rules. But anywhere you go outside of like the city area, anywhere, you know, let's just say beyond Ogden to the north or beyond Provo to the south, like outside of that area, there's not really many leash laws anywhere else. It's just the city area where there's a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of unique for the Salt Lake Valley in general, with the population density so close to so many trails.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, we're going to have to talk about COVID stuff, but like COVID has pushed more people into the outdoors. And so you're seeing, you know, twice as much traffic on these trails. So I think it's going to start to be a bigger issue with people looking at dogs and leash laws and stuff, unfortunately, if this keeps up, you know?
Well, so that makes me want to move into another question that I want to ask about etiquette when hiking with a dog. And because I think that a lot of people don't fully understand like how good dogs can be on the trail, or they get a dog and they're like, oh, I want to go hiking with my dog, or I want to go backpacking. And maybe they don't like fully understand proper etiquette of being on a trail with a dog. And maybe you could talk about what it's like to have a dog off leash versus on leash, when it's appropriate, when it's not appropriate, and just those kinds of situations, and how to best handle your companion while you're out on the trail.
whether it's a dog friendly trail or not, or wherever I am, I always just tend to move off the trail if somebody else is coming with a dog or not. I know my dog is good, but you don't know how the other dog is going to react. So I would prefer to just move off and see how things go when the dog approaches or passes or what the person says. Cause a lot of times people are just going to let you know, like, you know, I always say he's friendly. And actually this happened last week, and there were like maybe 100, not even 100 yards, I don't know. They were a little bit down the trail and they're like, he's not. And I was like, okay, you know, so like I hurry up and put my leash on. So like usually people let you know, especially if they see your dog off leash, but they might have, and especially if I see a dog on leash, I almost always put the leash on Charlie just in case, because the other person does. So I try to like pick up what's going on with the other person and dog, and see what they're doing, and then try to go off of that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
And of course, you know, moving off the trail for like bikers and horses and stuff like that, I just move off. That's just kind of my first thought. And I don't know, it's like I want to protect myself and my dog. If they walk by and something happens, I'm at least out of the way a little bit. So
no, that's really good to know, because I think sometimes people just don't really know. They think that their dog is invincible, or he's the nicest animal that has ever walked the face of the earth. And you never know how other dogs are going to react to other dogs. And so I think that's really good information.
Yeah. And I don't know if you're familiar with the yellow, I think it's called Yellow Tag Project or Yellow Project, but it's like when you see a dog with a yellow bow or like ribbon on it or anything kind of like yellow, like really bright yellow. Okay. There's this whole project out there where it's like letting people know that their dog is timid or not super friendly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So when you see the yellow bow on them or like a yellow collar or leash, that's supposed to be like a signal to other hikers to let them know that their dog isn't so friendly.
Gotcha. I'm going to have to look into that, because I'm trying to like think back of all the times that I've seen other dogs on the trails, and I don't know that I've ever seen, or maybe it hasn't like stood out or been like, I mean, obviously not the kind of thing that you would see like a service animal vest, right?
Yeah, it's not a vest. So it's the Yellow Dog Project. I just Googled it. Gotcha. And it's, you know, their tagline is some dogs need space. So if you see the yellow, that's when you know. I haven't seen a ton of them in the Salt Lake area, but I also think that this project is getting more awareness now, especially with way more people on the trail and people who do have dogs that are like training or being rehabilitated, stuff like that. So I think it's coming more aware for a lot of hikers. Like, you know, I run a dog hiking group in the Salt Lake area, and we have close to like 6,000 members. And this has been popping up a lot more lately. So I know people are starting to learn about it.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely remember to toss in the show notes a link to that, because I think that's really interesting. So I guess moving on a little bit, it'd be cool for you to share, and I'm curious what suggestions and information you have for listeners out there that are maybe looking to add a dog to their family and want to take the dog backpacking with them and hiking with them. I think Charlie, he obviously grew up as a puppy in the outdoors, and that's not always the case for people. They may have a middle-aged dog like my dog, who's obviously spent a lot of time outdoors as well, but he doesn't get out on the trail as much as Charlie does. But what I'm asking is, like, any suggestions and information you have for those that are looking to hike with their dog, how to make sure that the animal's taken care of.
Yeah.
And just kind of that idea.
Yeah, definitely. So you have to think of it like, if you were to run, let's just say a marathon. Okay. Let's just say you want to train for a marathon. How are you going to do that? You're going to start with day one, maybe 1 mile. Day three, you're going to do, you know, 3 miles, and you're just going to like work up to it, right? So that you're not going to injure yourself. It's the same thing with dogs. If you want to start hiking with them, they're not used to training for, you know, a longer mileage, or even if your goal is to hike 6 miles with your dog, like you have to work up to that. And you can't just go out and do 6 miles. Like if you have never run in your life and you get up and run 6 miles, you're going to be really sore and hurting the next day.
You might injure yourself too.
Yeah, you're going to get injured. You might not, you know, be breathing very well, or you might not know how to stay hydrated. So you have to keep all these things in mind for your dog too. It's like, okay, let's just start with 1 mile, and then, you know, the next day we're going to do 2 and then 3 and then work up to that. But you also have to remember that, like, especially now with how hot it is, keeping in mind like hydration for your dog. So you can't force them to drink, obviously, but try and do the best you can. But I always carry enough water for, you know, if I'm, let's say I'm doing like a 6 mile hike, I'll still carry like 2 liters of water, because I just give him water straight out of my Camelback. Like I squirt the hose, and I have trained him to just drink from the hose. So I don't carry a bowl or anything. So I'll just carry like 2 liters of water, even for a 6 mile hike, because we'll share that water and we're both going to need to stay hydrated.
Right.
And it's really easy to actually train your dog to do that. All you have to do is cup your hand, squirt the Camelback hose water into your hand, make like a little cup, and slowly pull your hand away as you keep the hose running. And then they just start to learn to drink water from that. It's actually really cool. And then you don't have to carry a bowl all the time and stop and pull out the bowl and pour the water in. Like, it saves a lot of time.
Well, I would imagine that in some ways it probably saves a little bit of water, because dogs are messy when they use bowls.
Yeah, for sure. Like the bowl gets knocked over and you're like, well, that was like a cup of water you just, you know, ran out of. So,
right.
And then also like starting early in the morning, I'm just thinking about summer, cause that's, you know, what we're in right now. And it's just been like, what, 100 degrees almost every day.
Oh my gosh.
But, like we started, we were trying to do a run this morning, and I left the house at 6 a.m. So I'm on the trail by 6:15, and cause it's just like right down the road from me. But, usually we go up and we do about 2.5 miles, and then we turn around. Well, this morning, even at 6:15 a.m., he was walking so slow because it was already really warm. And so it's like, you have to be okay with not meeting your goal sometimes. Like my goal is to get to this stream crossing. But if you notice that your dog is lagging behind and he was walking really slow this morning, and just, you can just tell it, you know, your dog is just off, right? You got to call it and just turn around. So I didn't get to really run this morning, and we only did like maybe 1.5 miles round trip because he just was not feeling it. So be okay with not having a hard goal or a hard mileage, you know, that you have to do that day. You're going to have to turn around early sometimes. And then also really just working on the recall. I mean, that's so important on the trails, especially with other hikers and bikers. Like when you say come, or whatever your command is, they better come. So really nail down the training, pay attention to your dog, you know, how they're reacting to the weather. And if they look like they're tired and slow, that's okay. You know, even if you are training for a marathon, you're going to have some really bad days where you just don't feel like running that far. So I try to relate how I would feel to something. And it's like, well, dogs feel the same way. You know, you just have to relate it to them and keep an eye on them.
Yeah, I'm definitely guilty of pushing Cooper too hard, thinking that, oh, he's a border collie, he's an Australian shepherd, he has all the energy in the world, and he's never going to get tired, and he's never going to get hurt. And I mean, a quick story, maybe you've seen this on my YouTube channel, but probably not. I actually ended up carrying Cooper in my backpack out of Amethyst Basin in the Uintas.
I think I remember when you did that. You went up to Osler Peak too, right?
Yes. Yeah. So what ended up happening is we went up with the goal to summit Osler Peak, and we got up to the top of the peak. Cooper was doing great. He wasn't tired. He was getting along all the boulder hopping just fine. And then on the way down, it must have been
just the way that he was having to step down onto like the edges of the boulders and that kind of stuff. And he ended up ripping his pads open.
Ooh.
And it was the kind of thing that, like, if I can coach him down to the bottom of the mountain and get off the mountain and then deal with it, or I can try to carry him and put both of us in a dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. And I really should have considered a lot earlier in the hike of, is this the right situation for my dog to be in? And I got that classic summit fever of like, no, we're here to summit the peak. I got to get to the top of the peak, right?
Yep.
And my ambitions to get to the top ended up with me packing my dog in my backpack 6.5 miles back to the car.
Oh, that's horrible. And I'm sure, you know, Cooper was probably really wanting to do it too, but you know, when he like tore his pads, it's like, oh, that's just a horrible feeling. You feel so confident, but they also want to keep going. And then it's like, no, we got to turn around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's another question people always ask me regularly is like, well, how do I build up my dog's paws to do all this boulder hopping? Or even for just normal hiking, like, how do I build up my dog's paws? It goes back to the training. Start small and work up. And eventually they, you know, it's just like training your legs to run. You know, you're working those muscles. It's training their pads to build up to be tougher. But there are some cases where it's just like, where it's going to be way too hot or some freak accident happens and they just randomly tear it and you can't do anything. I mean, that's why it's all, you know, important to carry a first aid kit. I have a dog specific first aid kit just because I am so worried that something like that's going to happen to him.
Yeah. And I think that like, sometimes I've even thought this myself, well, I'll just get him those dog booties and he'll be fine. And like, that's the solution. But then, another example for me was going up into Naturalist Basin in the Uintas and trying to make an attempt to summit Agassiz.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. We did Osler. We had this awful experience of having to pack him out, but now I've got these booties for him. So he's going to be golden. Well, we got up onto the ridge and I turned around and Cooper's missing two of the booties.
I know the booties. I have not found booties that like work for him yet that absolutely stay on. Like nothing works for him for booties.
And it's like, okay, yeah, cool. I have the booties, but now they fell off while climbing through the boulders. I can't find them.
Yep.
And so, okay, I guess we're not doing the peak.
Yeah. That's funny. I also did Agassiz with Charlie. Charlie did great, but I was dog sitting my friend's dog and the dog hikes regularly, but has, I guess, never really done boulder hopping like that. So we get all the way up to the summit. Great. Everything is going awesome. Come back down. And same thing happens. She starts her paw. Like I just saw blood starting to trail on those lighter colored rocks. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, where is this coming from? And I realized she had torn her pads and I'm like, oh my God, we're like 8 miles in, you know, in the Uintas. And I'm like, I don't have anything for her because I just didn't think that she was like that was going to happen because I'm like, oh, she hikes regularly. She'll be fine. But she's not used to the boulders. So that was not it was not a good, you know, rest of the hike out for her at all.
Such a bummer situation to be in.
Yeah.
Oh, so I guess moving on a little bit, let's talk about backpacking specifically with a dog. And how somebody can choose the right pack for their dog, but also how do they know how much weight they're capable of carrying and what's appropriate for the dog? Because I think it's funny to me, anytime that I've had Cooper out with me with a pack on, it's always like, oh my gosh, look how cute that is. Or I didn't know you could do that with a dog. And I've even had comments from people that are like, why are you doing that to your dog? You're hurting your dog. Like, what information can you give from your experience of what's appropriate for them to carry weight wise, what type of pack and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So for weight wise, so I highly recommend buying a hanging scale. They're like $7 on Amazon and you can weigh your own pack with that and then the dog pack with it, so you know exactly how much it weighs. But generally, you don't want to do more. You want to stick between 10 to 13% max of your dog's weight. So for instance, Charlie's 70 pounds. I don't really want to do more than 7 to 10 pounds for him. And I would say if we're doing like a 2 to 3 night trip, his pack with his food in there is roughly 5 to 7 pounds. I think the most his pack has ever weighed was probably, I think like 11 or 12, which was pushing it. But that was for a 7-night backpacking trip.
Oh, wow.
So he carried all of his food and I carried like his bed, his little coat. He has like a down jacket that he sleeps in. So that's like what keeps him warm at night. His bed is like an inflatable dog bed. There's only one that I think you and I were just talking about this like a week or two ago on Instagram about the inflatable.
Yeah, I had asked you about that.
Yeah. So that's like the only one on the market I've been able to find, but it's really small, packs down to like the size of a Nalgene bottle. And then he does have a bowl that folds into like a really small bowl. I don't know how to describe it, but like folds into itself. And it weighs practically nothing. And then that unfolds to be like his normal food bowl. And then for water, he just drinks out of the stream if possible, or if we're on a really dry stretch, you know, he'll use my Camelback water. So make sure you get the hanging scale and actually weigh it, because you can hold up the pack and be like, oh, this is only like 5 pounds. And then you go to weigh it and it's 8 or 10, you know? So got to keep an eye on the weight, because you don't want it hurting their back or anything like that. But it's totally fine for dogs to wear a backpack as long as you keep the weight, you know, at the right percentage. Yeah, it's funny. I get a lot of comments. It's like, people are always so surprised when they see him with a backpack on. I'm like, yeah, he's carrying his own stuff. Like, I'm not going to carry everything for him, you know? But as far as choosing a pack, you know, if you go into like Roughwear's website, they have great packs and they'll tell you how and where to measure them. You just basically measure their girth, so the biggest part of their body or like belly area. Mm-hmm. And you just go off the sizing for that. They do sell like pack sizes. So depending on like how long your trip is, or maybe how much weight they can carry, it kind of varies, but choosing a pack based off trip length is how I've always done it. So he does have a smaller pack for just like really short trips. And then he's got the bigger pack when we do like our 7 to 9 day trips.
Gotcha.
So I would choose the sizing off trip length. That's how I've done it. And then just make sure it's the right sizing, and you can go to like REI or Scheels and they will come out and help you fit the pack to your dog too, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is. I mean, if they're going to do human pack fitting, why wouldn't they do dog pack fitting?
Exactly. Right? So one of my friends works at Scheels and you can actually bring dogs in and walk around and shop with your dog so they can fit the pack with them while they're inside the store. I've asked to bring Charlie into REI and REI doesn't allow it, but they will come out to your car or outside the front door and help you fit. They'll bring like a few different packs out to you. So,
cool.
Both stores are really cool in that sense. Cause it's like, yeah, if you're going to fit a human pack, you need to make sure that it fits, you know, dog pack. So if you're brand new to backpacking, that's where I would honestly start, is go to one of those stores and have them fit the pack. You want to make sure you have about 1 to 2 fingers underneath the straps for comfort and so that they can move. I have accidentally, and I felt so bad about this, had like straps too tight before on him and mm-hmm. It completely like rubbed his skin. I felt so bad. Like, you know, like you get like a rash type burn. That's what he got on his like underside. And I ended up having to carry the pack the next day because you can't force him to keep walking like that. That's going to hurt really bad. So
right.
Making sure it's like loose enough, but also comfortable fit is key. And same thing, if you've never been backpacking before and you want to start, it's the same thing of working up with that mileage and getting them used to the pack. I remember when we first tried to put the pack on Charlie, like he did not want that thing on him at all. And he would try and like paw it off. And I was like, dude, you better get used to this. You know, you're a backpacking dog. Like,
yeah. You know what I mean?
So another great tip is to just do a normal hike, but put the backpack on them, but leave it completely empty so that they just get used to having something on them while they're hiking. Don't put any weight in there. Don't put, you know, nothing inside. Just let them get used to the feel of it. And then slowly add a little bit more weight on just a normal hike. And then that way, when you're ready to actually backpack, they're used to the normal or the amount of weight they should have. And they're used to the pack.
Just classic conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great information. I think that's really important because many of us are going to be guilty of just, oh, cool, I got a dog, I want to go backpacking with my dog, I'll buy the pack, and then just throw it on the dog and expecting them to like just make it work. And maybe that happens with some dogs, but I think I've even known some people that have attempted every single like option with packs and the dog is like, nope. Yeah. And they end up not ever wearing a pack, but they still are great hiking dogs.
Yeah. Some of them, you know, it's just maybe not for everyone and maybe it's not for some dogs too. So if like, if you see that your dog is constantly pulling it off or maybe is like a lot slower than, you know, okay, well maybe my dog shouldn't be carrying this pack. It's just paying attention to their signals and what they're trying to tell you.
No, that's really great information. And just all of it about hiking with a dog in general. I mean, that's primarily what we've been talking about, but it's, if you've got a dog, man, this is really, really good info. And going to your website, and I haven't spent a lot of time outside of like the trail guides and stuff on your website, but do you have other like pages that have just like generic hiking with dog information on there that people could check out?
Look at like a lot of different information. So right now the popular thing that everybody's looking up are the dog friendly patios. So it's like, well, where can I go to eat or have a beer and sit on the patio with my dog? So I have a whole list of all the Salt Lake County approved and Summit County approved dog friendly restaurant patios. I've got like other like popular lists of like dog friendly waterfall hikes, or I think I have something on there about like how to choose the right pack, how to keep your dog warm while camping. So there's a lot of general information on there other than just trail guides. So it's a very, I would say most of it's pretty specific to the Salt Lake area and Utah in general. And I do have some things like in Wyoming, we backpack in Wyoming every year. You know, we've gone to Nevada, Colorado. So I do have a few things from other states as well.
Cool. No, that's great. And that kind of leads me on to talking about you specifically more than just like Charlie and hiking with a dog. But something that I found, because I didn't find your website or find your social media on like, oh, where can I go hike with a dog? It was your trail guides that really drew me to being able to help plan better backpacking trips. In fact, I teach intro to backpacking at Utah Valley University, and I have your website listed as an option for where people can find trail guides and they can find ideas of backpacking trips to do and that kind of stuff. And I think that Sure Girl on a Hike is very specific to like, what are dog friendly places to go? But what is cool to me about what you've put together is that basically an encyclopedia for here in Utah, but also a few other places of how I can find places to go backpacking and hiking. And is there any kind of like evolution that's happened with your website that you're trying to like really think of how I'm formulating this question, because I didn't write this down at all in like the pre-interview stuff, but are you planning trips that just happen to also be dog friendly because you want to add more trail guides to your website, or are you like specifically just looking for only places that I can take a dog with me and then I'm going to write a trail guide on that? If that makes sense.
Yeah, pretty much the latter. Yeah. Instagram is a great resource to find really cool places. So I'll try and like, oh, this, you know, this lake looks amazing, and I'll look it up. Oh, well, you can't bring a dog, so I'm not going to go there. You know, I love spending time with my dog. Why would I want to go on a trip where he can't come? You know, so
sure.
And then I have to find a dog sitter, and it's just way more enjoyable to have him there. So I'm always trying to find places that will allow dogs. So yeah, I try and do as much research as I can, you know, piecing together all those different websites and stuff online to figure out, can I bring my dog here? And like, is there water or not? Because that's kind of like the second big thing. It's like, well, if there's not enough water for him to drink, I'm probably not going to go there in the summer, even if dogs are allowed. So I have to do a lot of research on, you know, if this trail looks really cool, it's like, well, do all these things line up for us to be able to do this successfully?
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then I still get so excited about writing new trail guides. And it's like, well, okay, I can find some of this information online. I found out it's dog friendly. I found there's water, and I just go for it. I don't really do much research beyond that, because if you have a trail map, I mean, you're good to go. Right.
Right.
And then,
right.
And when I'm doing the hike, I take notes on my phone of like, okay, at this mileage, turn here or whatever, look for this, or, you know, the dogs can drink from this pond and stuff like that. So I take all these notes, and then that's when I put everything together.
Gotcha. That's awesome. Yeah. I'd kind of wondered what your process a little bit was like, if you were just going off of memory while you're out there, if you're taking notes and very strategic about the pictures that you take and where they get placed on a trail guide and all that. So that's
yeah, great. I just try to do everything like in order of how the hike goes. You know, posting the pictures of how you would see it when you're hiking. So, and then also I take notes on the mileage. So I use Gaia GPS. I've used that app for probably 5 years. I've never had an issue with it. I absolutely love that app. And so I'll look at the mileage, and then I'll write down the mileage, you know, 2.4 miles, trail split, turn left. And that's how I remember. Cause sometimes, especially with the longer trips or longer hikes, or if there's like a lot of different things to look for, you know, I don't think I could remember all that. So I definitely have to write it down. I just save it on my phone. And then when I'm going back and writing up the trail guide, I just go off of memory of, you know, things to look for or whatever. But if there's something specific that I wrote down, then that's when I include that in the trail guide.
So one of the last questions I want to ask before I fire just some like quick fire questions to you is, so your website is called Girl on a Hike, which doesn't necessarily like say we're a dog hiking website.
True.
So I'm curious, because you've got a decent following on Instagram and social media. As a female hiker, how have you found over the years your website basically being an influence on other women to find motivation to get outside? Or have you personally seen, as like your social media like progresses and your website grows, are you finding that it's motivating other women who are not active outdoors people to get outside and spend time with their dogs outside and that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Most of my followers are women. I don't know. I guess I have a few theories.
Okay.
I've told you before that, like, I run that dog hiking group. It's Dogs That Hike in Utah. It's on Facebook and Instagram and Meetup. And I've been hosting weekly dog hikes up until COVID. We haven't done it this year, but every, you know, the past 5 summers, every Tuesday night, we're doing a hike, and like, I'm the leader. I'm the one hosting all these. And so most of the people who come are also women for that, which I find really interesting. I think it's because, I am female and kind of like the leader, the host of that hike that night, and okay, feel more comfortable coming with a female leader. That's just what I think happens. Because most of these women, especially if you own a dog, you probably have a partner or married or whatever, and going to some of these other meetup groups, they're very dating focused, whereas I have tried very hard to not make ours a dating group at all. Like, this is purely for hiking, and making friends. And so I feel like
almost more like we're getting a bunch of dogs together and it just happens to be the owners of the dogs that are there as well.
Yeah. And I think people feel like coming on a hike where it's a female leading it. And there's like no pressure to feel like this is some sort of dating group either. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's just kind of what I think happens and why I get more women on the dog hikes. And then like for the blogging stuff, you know, I have chosen to not post many pictures of my partner, even though he's there most of the time. Mm-hmm. I want to keep that, you know, my personal life like separate and keep him separate. A lot of times it's just showing myself or selfies or just Charlie. And right. I think a lot of people see like, oh, well she's doing, and I do a lot of hikes on my own too. Like I go by myself and it's like, okay, well she's obviously going by herself. You know, that, well, I can do that too. You know what I mean? And so I get a lot of questions, like people DMing me all the time, like, well, do you feel safe when you hike alone? Like, how do you know which trail is safe to go to? Or, you know, just like a lot about safety and like, well, how, like, you know, going by yourself, like, aren't you scared about wildlife? You know, like I get a lot of these questions about hiking solo, but I feel like it's motivating other women to be able to see that, like, you can go by yourself and you can do the, you know, you can be, choose safe trail or go at a safe time or whatever. And it's fun. You know, I do feel like, I've motivated women to get out there and to me, that's awesome. Like, I think that's great because why does hiking and backpacking and backcountry skiing have to be a guy thing all the time?
Right. Right. You know? Absolutely.
Climbing. Like, these are all things I like doing too. And for somebody to see that, like somebody around my age can do this, or, you know, I've even had older women like 50s, 60s. I've actually, when I was up in Naturalist Basin a few weeks ago, I was coming back from a hike, going back to my campsite, past this lady on the trail, like in her 60s, also had a dog. And she looks at Charlie, she goes, "Is that Charlie?" And I was like, "Yeah, like, how do you know?" She's like, "Oh my gosh, I love your blog." And she's like, "You like really motivated to get out, you know, motivated me to get outside." And I was like, "Well, nice to meet you, you know."
That's
like,
awesome.
Charlie first, but she was, you know, much older. And I think that's so cool that like people are, and especially women are getting out there and doing things on their own.
Well, that's got to be like really good motivation when you have those kinds of experiences to be like, okay, I wasn't so sure about this, but I'm going to keep doing it because it really is making a difference, or it's motivating people to try harder things. And that's really cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. And especially like with the whole COVID thing, you know, it's like, I haven't really been hiking with friends as much just because I'm just so nervous about getting sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I've been doing a lot, especially this summer on my own. And to be honest, it's been really nice because I don't have to depend or rely on anybody else for, like, if I want to go fast and run, I can do that. I don't have to meet anybody at a certain time. Like, it's been really freeing actually to just be like, I'm doing what I want right now.
Yeah.
I love that. So COVID's been a good thing for me.
No, that's awesome. Well, cool. We're coming up on close to an hour of chatting right now. And I've just loved the conversation that we've had. It's so fun to talk about dogs and animals and just being out there. But I want to fire some quick questions to you. And these are always fun because it's interesting to see what people's responses are. But we'll start with your personal favorite piece of outdoor gear.
Favorite piece of backpacking gear?
Not just outdoor gear.
Outdoor gear. Probably my backpacking chair. Okay. So there's a little bit of a story behind it. So
okay.
Back in the day, like when I was first backpacking, like 8-10 years ago, and I would see people carrying backpacking chairs, and I'm like, why do you need a backpacking chair, losers? Like, why would you carry that? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I made fun of people for carrying chairs, all right? Well, after about 5 years of backpacking with a way too big, I bought a men's backpacking pack. The very first pack I bought was a men's like 80 liter pack because I had idea what I was doing. Nobody helped me. I was like, oh, I just need the biggest pack possible.
Yeah.
So because of my poor pack choice and it did not fit, it was way too big, I ended up getting really bad back pain. And so I was like, huh, maybe I should buy one of those backpacking chairs. And I cannot go backpacking with that thing. Like because my back still to this day hurts pretty bad. And so like, oh, people are like, oh, well, just lean up on a log or lean up on the tree. And I'm like, no, I'm willing to carry the 1 pound to save my back and have a comfortable place to sit for 2 or 3 nights. So definitely the chair.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny that you say that because I went on a trip in Canyonlands back in February, and it was a bunch of us like YouTube creators. And yes, Amy Rout, who's also local to Salt Lake City, she joined us for that trip. And I was like, Amy, are you going to have a chair? Because I know you don't you don't take a chair with you. And mm-hmm. She was like, oh, yeah, no, I can just sit on the ground. And I was like, I'm going to bring a chair for you because you don't want to be the one person in the group that's not sitting on a chair. No. She, like afterwards, she was like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much for letting me borrow that.
Okay, so she and I have finally met up to hike a few times, and we're trying to go backpacking at some point this summer. So she's awesome. We have to give a shout out to her because she's an awesome local
YouTube Instagram
hiker. So
cool. So I like the chair. That's a great answer. That's a really great answer. So what is your favorite piece of outdoor dog gear?
That's a good question. What does Charlie use the most? So first thing that is coming to mind is he has a dog collar light because we often end, like, especially during the week, you know, if we're doing a hike after work, we end in the dark, or for backpacking. It's just you can get by it as like an actual collar light, but I have one that's kind of like a tube light and I can just put that on like a collar. And it's lit up by USB, so I can see him in the dark. That's a very practical one, kind of more of safety related. But I really like that I can see him when it gets dark because you know I don't typically hike with him on leash. I try to do only off leash stuff, so he's usually ahead or behind me, and that way I can see him on the trail better. So, and they're like $10 on Amazon; they're really affordable.
I have a piece of gear coming to mind. I don't necessarily need to be the one that answers the question, but it's to go back to a little bit of talking about like on leash versus off leash. What's the proper etiquette? One of my favorite pieces of gear, and I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but I got it at the outdoor retailer trade show from the Roughwear booth, but it was a short collar style leash. So it actually connects to the loop on the harness of the backpack that you would connect your leash to at that point anyway, right? Mm-hmm. But it then wraps around his neck and it has a piece of Velcro around it. So it basically, like, he has a short leash attached to him at all times. And when I need to have him close to me, another dog on leash is coming down the trail, or somebody says, hey, my dog is not friendly, then I can like quickly unvelcro that and have him on. It's like a 2.5 foot leash, so he's like right next to me.
Oh, that's interesting. I have not seen or heard of that. I'll definitely look it up.
Yeah, and I don't know if they sell it, but that is easily probably for an outdoor specific like dog gear item. That's probably one of my favorite pieces of gear. So what's Charlie's favorite piece of gear or trail treat? He obviously can't tell you which one's his favorite.
But I know what he likes. I mean, so Charlie's actually allergic to poultry and sweet potatoes. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's not like deathly allergic, but he gets really bad diarrhea and his coat gets really dry and itchy. So I buy just straight up, like dehydrated, like beef liver treats.
Oh, cool.
Or beef lung, whatever it's called. And he definitely likes those the best. He's not a huge fan of peanut butter, which is really weird for a dog. He loves bacon. So definitely bacon and like beef treats are his absolute favorite.
Okay, next question. Your favorite peak in Utah?
Oh, that's way too hard to answer. Do I want one in the, you know, in the like actual mountains, or do I want one in southern Utah? Like, there's so many varieties. First one that's coming to mind, I don't know if you've done this one, but it's called Gilbert Peak in the Uintas.
Over there by Kings Peak, right?
Yes, it's very close to Kings Peak. A friend and I backpacked up to Gilbert Basin. So it's like one drainage east of Henry's Fork for the Kings Peak Trail. And when you get up to like Gilbert Lake in that basin, it's just so pretty. And you can do the peak as like a loop route. There's no trail. It's all just cross-country hiking, typical Uinta type terrain. But I just absolutely loved that peak. The views were amazing. You could see into so many different drainages. And you're over 13,000 feet. So it was like really cool temperatures.
Yeah. Isn't Gilbert like the second tallest high point in Utah?
Yeah. It's like 13,000, maybe 300 or so and change. So that's, I just had a great day. We had perfect weather. So I just absolutely loved that one.
That's awesome. Yeah. I've not done Gilbert, but it's on the list. Just mm-hmm. in the back of my mind of another piece of the Uintas to go explore. Okay. So your favorite trail in Utah?
Oh, that's another tough one because I love both the mountains and southern Utah. I can't pick just one trail. Can I say what my two favorite areas of Utah is, like the Uintas and southern Utah, like Monte. I can't pick one trail because that's just like way too hard, but my favorite areas to hike around are the Uintas and like the Escalante area.
Yeah, you and I are similar in that regard. Just that whole southern Utah, Escalante, Capitol Reef, Boulder Mountain area is just like paradise.
Yeah, it's so pretty, especially in spring and fall. It's just amazing. I love that. Both of those types of terrain. So,
yeah, and it's nice that we're so close to it and have such easy access to it as well. It's good stuff. Well, Alicia, thank you so much for taking time out of your morning, for talking about Charlie, talking about your website and your history and your experiences. I guess to wrap up, you can tell everybody where they can find you, where they can follow you, and anything else that you want to share.
Yeah. I'm most active on Instagram. I love Instagram. I get a lot of motivation by it and I love seeing everybody else's adventures. So Instagram's Girl on a Hike, facebook.com/girlonahike. I've got my Facebook page up. I've got a YouTube channel. Mine's not as cool as yours. I don't keep up with it as much as you do. I just, kind of just do it when I want to kind of thing. I don't like do videos of like every trail or trip. It's just kind of like when I feel like doing it. But it's been something fun. That's been really cool to learn, like all the video editing skills and stuff like that. So, YouTube's been fun. And I have an ebook. I don't know if you actually knew about that, but
I did not know that.
About 2 years ago, I wrote a book. It's on Amazon. It's Salt Lake City's Best 52 Hikes. So have you heard of the 52 hike challenge?
Yes.
So it's kind of meant to go along with that. So you can do all of the 52 hikes, but like just within Salt Lake City. So I picked my favorite 52 hikes to kind of like go along with that challenge. If that's a goal that, you know, somebody's interested in, you can use my book to pick out one per week. And it's available as an ebook, or you can do it like on your Kindle app. But it's only like $5-6 on Amazon, so pretty affordable.
Right on. I'll make sure I link that.
Yeah. And I'm working on an actual real book that should be coming out next year. More trail guides, but I'm not going to give away exactly what for just yet. But you can keep an eye out for that next year.
Right on. Well, very good. Thank you again. And I hope you have an awesome day.
Thanks. See you guys later.
I'll tell you what, after I finished that conversation, that interview with Alicia, I just felt so empowered to want to go outside with my dog, Cooper, and just hit the trail. And I'm really grateful for all of the things that Alicia shared in that conversation, that interview, and just the expertise and the different like concepts and ideas and things that she does that are so educational for everybody else there that out there that is looking to backpack and hike with their dog. So Alicia, thank you again for your time and for sharing your thoughts. And at some point we should have you on again and talk more about dogs, because dogs are the best. Man's best friend, right? So thank you guys for listening to today's episode. Really appreciate it. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure that you leave a rating and a review on whatever podcast system, format, service, whatever you want to call it that you use. But I really appreciate you guys listening today. You're great. Thanks for being a supporter. Thanks for being part of this process. And more than anything, I hope you have a fantastic week, a fantastic day. And we will catch you on the next episode of The Backpacking Experience.